New competition for Al Jazeera, courtesy of Rupert Murdoch. Reports are that the founder of the Fox News Channel will be partnering perhaps with a Saudi prince to launch a new 24-hour Arabic news service for audiences in the Middle East. Will it be good for democracy? Will it be just pro-Israel propaganda? Who might become the Arabic-speaking Hannity or Beck or O'Reilly? Let's talk about it with Politico's media blogger, Keech Hagee, who's written about the Murdoch venture. And we'll talk about China State Television taking a shot at broadcasting to the United States. The global media giants are restless, public and private. Also with us, Christina Orson, China media watcher from the Larson. Is it Larson? Forgive me, Christina, China media watcher from the New America Foundation and an editor at Foreign Policy Magazine. Christina and Keech, welcome to WNYC.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
So what's the Murdoch story? I realize this is a little bit fluid, Keech, and not entirely confirmed. What do you know?
Well, what we know is last week, Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, who is a big media mogul over there, they sometimes call him the Saudi Warren Buffett, he announced that he was going to launch a 24-hour Arabic news channel in partnership with Rupert Murdoch's Fox network. He said this would be an addition and an alternative to the two biggest Arabic news channels, Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera, and he even named who was going to head the channel, a sort of controversial Saudi journalist. And he hasn't mentioned anything about when it's going to start or where it's going to be. And tellingly, Fox has not confirmed this partnership, and sources close to the situation actually say that Fox is trying to distance itself from that news piece a little bit. But I think what's really going on here is that Al-Waleed has had a long relationship with Fox in his other dealings. He has his own media conglomerate called Rotana that is a big entertainment group there, and they run Fox movies and series on their channels. And then recently, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp bought a nearly 10% stake in Rotana. So Murdoch and Prince Al-Waleed go back a long time, and they've been business partners for a while. So I think Al-Waleed wants to launch this channel. I think he wants to have his business partners within News Corp help him structure it in the way that they've structured their own very successful channels.
But do I understand that from your reporting you think there may actually be two different Murdoch Arabic language ventures in the works, that one perhaps with the prince and perhaps another one?
Yes. Well, this is where the plot really thickens, because last night the Financial Times reported that B Sky B, which is a British pay TV network that is partially owned by News Corp, is in talks. You know, who knows what in talks means, but with an Abu Dhabi investor to launch, once again, a 24-hour Arabic news channel in the Middle East within 2 years. And in this case, they actually did say where it would be in Abu Dhabi. So
these may be the same thing with conflicting reports about who would be involved, or these may be two separate ventures and everybody's still trying to sort that out.
Exactly.
So do you have an idea of what the editorial voice would be? Will they find an Arabic-speaking Brit Hume to be their Washington bureau chief, you know, and things like that?
Well, I think we can learn a little bit from who Prince Al-Waleed tapped to be head of this new channel. He used to be head of Al-Watan newspaper, a Saudi newspaper, and he had to resign this year because he ran an opinion piece he didn't write that was critical of Salafism, which is sort of the conservative form of Islam at the heart of the Saudi regime. So he's clearly a symbol of a pro-reform agenda within Saudi Arabia. And since the Saudi king has been kind of shaking up Saudi Arabia a little bit lately with a more reform agenda, I think Prince Waleed sees his moment. Now, as far as will there be, you know, Fox News-type voices in the Middle East, I think we really need to separate Fox as a global brand from Fox News here in the U.S. They're really different. In the Middle East, Fox is an entertainment brand. It's not a news brand. which is why it would be actually very surprising if the Fox brand would be attached to this Middle Eastern channel. The Sky brand makes a lot more sense because that's a news brand, really, in that part of the world. So I don't think that it would be anything like what we have here in the U.S.
Now, Christina, let's talk about China launching an English-language television service in the United States. And they're setting up right in the heart of the media capital of the world, Times Square, right?
That's right. That's right. Xinhua, which is China's government news agency, is set to move into the top floor of 1540 Broadway. Nice new digs, a big upgrade from their current offices in the Woodside neighborhood of Queens. There's two things that we know from this move. The first is that China has a lot of money. The best place maybe to get a job in journalism these days is the People's Republic of China. While Western media is downsizing and laying off jobs, the Chinese government has determined that putting more money into its state-run news services is going to be a priority. The second thing that's really important, I think, for people to begin to realize now is that when we think of Chinese state media and Chinese propaganda, we mainly think about restricting the flow of information, the Great Firewall and all that. But the fact is that the Chinese media is increasingly getting into the business of producing and internationally disseminating its own version of the news and feels that this is a very important space to be in, and it's willing to invest heavily.
And what do you think their editorial voice would be in the United States?
Well, this is a big question. Right now, so I'm in Washington, D.C., there's a regular supplement that comes out that Xinhua produced, or I think actually one of the Chinese state media agencies, it might be the China Daily newspaper, produces, that is published sort of as an advertorial supplement physically in the Washington Post, and it's maybe once a week, once a month. And the voice, it basically tells you sort of good stories about things happening in China. And it hasn't really been effective because it hasn't figured out how to there's a subtlety about how to effectively interject their point of view into a debate. And at this moment, there's a big gap between what people in Beijing think that Americans think about China and what we actually think about China. Jim Fallows had a wonderful article about 2 years ago about why Beijing is so bad at propaganda in the Atlantic Monthly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is a really fluid and interesting space. I'd be really interested to see what kinds of people Xinhua and CCTV try to hire, if they're going to try to hire some people who've had prominent positions at Western news outlets, or if they're going to bring over people from China to try to learn the Western sort of media landscape, which is what they've done in the future and which is what they've done in the past. And as I said, it hasn't been terribly effective, really, in terms of being a meaningful presence in the sort of discussion about how Americans and the West think about China.
So, listeners, any questions or thoughts about either of these ventures being reported? If we have Murdoch venturing with television in Arabic into the Middle East and China venturing with television in English into the United States, what do you want to know about this? What do you want to say about this with Christina Orson from the New America Foundation and an editor at Foreign Policy Magazine talking about the China venture, and Politico's media reporter Keech Hagee, who's written about the Murdoch venture, or at least the reports of a Murdoch venture? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post online at WNYC.org. And I wonder how you two together, though I realize you've not reported on the other one story, compare these two ventures, a Murdoch news channel in Arabic for the Middle East, a Chinese state television channel for the United States in English. Christina, I'll go to you first. Are they the moral equivalent of each other?
Not. I mean, here's what's interesting to me. Depending on who you ask, news isn't necessarily a business. In the West, we're having all sorts of discussions about how quality news outlets like the New York Times will continue to be able to finance the great journalism that they do. In China, this project and other projects launched by Beijing, they don't have to make money. In fact, they can lose a lot of money. It's not seen as a business. There aren't shareholders that these organizations are accountable to. And so this is, you know, in effect, it's sort of equivalent to something the foreign ministry might do, more so than it is equivalent to something an independent newspaper would do. In the case of Murdoch, I wonder, and maybe Keech can shed some insight, if he thinks, you know, what the business plan is behind this. You know, is he thinking that this is the next big place to make money, which is obviously a different calculus than Beijing is making right now.
Keech, what do you think?
Well, Rupert Murdoch actually came out to Abu Dhabi in March. It was a big media summit, and gave a speech where, you know, he said that he sees a lot of promise in an audience of 300 million Arabic speakers as an attractive market. And the fact that there may be even two competing new channels there suggests that there is some hope of making money. However, very similar to in China, all those news channels that we hear so much about in the Arab world, like Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, they don't make money. They're funded by governments, and they're there for influence more than anything else. So if anyone can figure out how to make money out of the Middle East, I would say it's Rupert Murdoch, but it's an uphill battle for sure.
Question on our comments page. Xinhua will very quickly become the official source of information for New York City-based reporters trying to cover business and politics in China, writes this listener, who adds, I do also hope that the New York-based journalist community recognize that joining their ranks will be Communist Party members, as Xinhua agents are, and proudly so. Is that the right way to look at it, in your opinion, Christina Larson?
Well, I think it's already the case, actually, that the Chinese media's reporting on business in China is a source of tips and at least a first place to look for Western journalists covering China, both in China and from a distance. I don't think that the presence of Xinhua in expanding its presence, it already exists in New York, is going to impact how Western reporters cover China. I think they're attempting to, in effect, bypass the U.S. or Western media organizations presenting China and try to present their own version of China directly to readership or listenership in the United States and elsewhere. I think it's also interesting to add, just since, you know, we have Keech on the line and we're talking about a broader global landscape, that Xinhua also publishes in obviously in Chinese and in English, but also in Spanish, French, Russian, Portuguese, Japanese, and even Arabic, all translated at the own sizable expense of the organization itself. So what we're seeing in New York is really part of a bigger scheme. Of course, the United States is a very important country, but China wants to have its own version of the news in all of those countries that I mentioned, and probably there's more in the works.
Hamed in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Hamed.
Yes, hi. I like your show.
Thank you.
For Murdoch and Fox News to invest for Middle East in Arabic speaking, it's more propaganda and ideology than a profit for business. Can you just focus on that a little bit? Because Al Arabiya, as you just mentioned, they're not there for profit. So is another face of propaganda pro-Israeli or Zionist or not?
Hamed, thank you. And Keith, you did pretty casually dismiss the idea that a Murdoch-owned Arabic language news channel based in the Middle East would be politically bent as opposed to just a business venture. You know, again, given Americans' experience with all kinds of Fox News products in the United States, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, Fox News Channel, et cetera. Is that really what you meant to say?
Well, everything in the Middle East is politically bent, every form of news. And I think that if Murdoch would come in, he would bring something that would be perhaps a breath of fresh air to the Middle East, just from a professionalism standpoint, you know, purely in terms of business structure. Of course, there are political, sides to what the News Corp empire brings to its various news ventures. And a lot of people have raised legitimate questions about what their Israel stance and their other publications would mean for something in the Middle East. People in the Middle East are not focused on that. I think the intelligentsia there and the academics know what Fox News means in the U.S., and they are concerned. But the people on the ground, they think of Fox as just movies, series. So I really don't know.
What percentage of Arabic world households could even hypothetically receive this broadcast, technologically or by law? Do some of these countries with limited freedom of the press block the independent news channels that have sprung up, like Al Arabiya and, or I don't know if independent is the right word exactly for Al Arabiya because it has Saudi government links, but Al Arabiya, Al Jazeera also has Qatari government links, but I mean they're independent certainly much more than the government state media in many of the countries in the region. Have they been blocked? Have they been jammed? Are they penetrating? Are they having an impact by presenting various voices?
They are, because they're all on free-to-air satellites. So there is really no way to block or jam them. That's sort of the strange structure of Middle Eastern television, that everyone can get these channels without paying for them. You just need a satellite on your roof, you know? And as a result, Al Jazeera has been really powerful throughout the whole region. Of course, there are governments that don't like it at all, and you know they're always trying to pass some sort of motion to curtail that. You know, I think in Cairo they had a meeting not that long ago with the Arab League trying to put some kind of restrictions on what Al Jazeera can say, but it's basically impossible. There are no boundaries. So the reason that those things are so popular is because they can say things against the leaders that the other state-run media can't say.
Ruth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, good morning. I'd like you to point out, please, that the constitution of Saudi Arabia is the Quran. There is absolutely no way that this is just another instance of this creeping Sharia that the left-wing, you know, mainstream media just refuses to report accurately. The constitution of Saudi Arabia is the Quran.
But wait, that aside, and I'm not sure that that's that black and white, but even if it is, if a Saudi prince and Rupert Murdoch are teaming up to broadcast in Arabic to the Middle East, do you think the content will be creeping Sharia, as you say? Or would it go in the other direction?
I'm quite the contrary.
I'm very, very surprised that this Politico reporter characterizes this prince as somebody who's a media mogul. This is the prince that handed Rudy Giuliani a check for $10 million at Ground Zero, and he said no thanks, because the same day the prince's PR machine was saying that Israel was the cause of 9/11. I really, really wish people in the media would do a little bit of homework, just a little bit. I mean, it's true that he has business partnerships with people like Bill Gates and all these people who are, just putting their profit motive over the values of this country, which is, in Britain right now, there are 87 courts. These people know what they're doing. They are trying to spread Wahhabism. Prince Tawid is a Wahhabist.
Ruth, I'm going to get a response from you, and then we're going to be out of time. But look, Ruth raises a question. We know what the government of Saudi Arabia imposes in terms of the law, whether it's technically the Quran is the constitution or not. Why would Murdoch, given his own politics, again, have a different attitude toward Prince al-Walid than Rudy Giuliani did?
Well, Prince al-Walid is actually an outsider in the Saudi court. His father was exiled from the country, and he's trying to sort of shake things up around the outside. I know there is controversy about the post 9/11 moment and his connections to, you know, Israel and Palestine, but within Saudi Arabia, he is a voice for change there, for trying to help the country modernize.
By the way, Christina, last question.
Okay.
Al Jazeera broadcasts in English in the United States. Now China is going to try to do the same thing. Al Jazeera, as far as I could tell, has had zero impact in the United States. Basically, cable systems are not even running the channel. And maybe there are some people receiving it over satellite. But what's your understanding of the impact that Al Jazeera English has had in the United States, if you've looked at that at all? And why would China be any different?
Well, Al Jazeera is really interesting because they've done something that in the past China hasn't done, and that's they've hired some pretty good talent away from Western media organizations like the BBC. I think understanding the impact that an organization will have on a debate is something that we have to look at with a long-term perspective. Thus far, the audience for Al Jazeera English is very different than the audience for CNN or Fox. It mm-hmm. hasn't really shifted the debate, as you mentioned. Over the long term, I think that Al Jazeera English has actually played a role in tipping off some Western news organizations. It's definitely a fluid space, and they are doing interesting things. I think they've actually been more innovative in how they've been thinking about their editorial content, for better or worse, than China has. One thing I did want to say about the sort of editorial slant of the Chinese media, very often, if you look at articles on Xinhua or China Daily, there'll be, a response to an article that came out in the New York Times the day before. So the New York Times will report XYZ bad problem has happened in China. And then the next day, there'll be an article in the Chinese media that'll sort of follow up and say, you know what, it wasn't that bad, or the Western media gets this wrong. So they played this reactive role. It's a big open question whether or not, even if they have the money to spend, China will figure out how to get ahead and be a more substantial player in the debate. And at this point, I think the main thing to watch is who they try to hire to fill up that fancy Broadway office space they have.
All right. Coming soon to Channel 1671 on your Time Warner cable. Oh, I'm kidding. Christina Larson, China media watcher from the New America Foundation and Foreign Policy Magazine. And we also thank Politico's media reporter, Keech Hagee, who's written about the possible Murdoch ventures in Arabic language news services for the Middle East. Thanks both very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, next, in defense of only children. Stay tuned.